Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
It became a mission that he was exalting God's name. You know what, for you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read 6 verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. These are Paul's last words. And then also, with one of your other fingers, turn to Acts chapter 13, because that's really where we're going to be preaching from, in Acts chapter 13. But at least this will, you'll have a head start on this one here. Acts chapter 13 is where we'll be preaching today. Acts 13 is Paul's very first public message that he preached. And in that sermon, the very first message that launched 16 years of travel for him, launched a good 50 years from that day to the very last words penned by John, that give us themes, requirements, if you would, for us today. And then Paul, at the very end of his life, in his writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we're at, we're going to be reading 6 verses that sum up also these 4 themes that you find in his very first message, the same 4 themes that he begins in this simple personal document to a young preacher of his, emphasizing for him great concerns, but also challenges. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 out loud together. You ready? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He went on to give his expectations of future rewards and identified people that he worked together with in ministry, some faithful, some fell away. But ultimately, he said in verse 17 of chapter 4, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm thankful that Paul, in his very last words, years later, reflect the same passion and burden that he had when he started out ministry. These are words to people in ministry full time, but the reality is this documentation is given to everyone, every believer, as it is for you and me today. And I think the application is so needed today as we start into a new theme of making a difference. And I think this expresses for us a direction that we need to hear today. Between the years of 1966 and 1973, there was a television show that became quite popular, played on ABC every single week. After that show went off the air a few years later, it spawned 3 pretty popular movies. I'm not endorsing any of them, but in that particular series that I used to watch growing up, it summed up, I think, what I would like to leave with you today. This particular TV show became so popular that actually the song of this TV show has still stuck around. because it was a group of a small special agents that were tasked weekly to take a mission. It was very impossible. It is the group IMF Impossible Mission Force. Do you remember that? How many of you are old enough to remember seeing that? Let's see all the gray hairs. Okay, good. I feel better about it together. It was interesting because it was a group of people that met every week in this clandestine place, and they were given on a reel-to-reel tape. Now, for those of you that are 20 or younger, what that meant was there was music actually on this little brown tape. And so every week, the same statement was made to them, and I wrote it down because they said on this little reel-to-reel tape from this government agency, your mission, if you decide to accept it. And then went on to give this impossible task that they were to come together with and accomplish it, if you decide to take it. And then they explained the mission of some battle against some evil czar or some wicked, tyrannous leader. And eventually, every show, the good guys won, the bad guys lost, which is always a good thing. And then, of course, at the end of that particular tape, it always finished with the same phrase, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And so it would blow up. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I thought that was, like, so cool. Evidently, it was so cool that it became movies later on, as I mentioned. But that same idea is what I'm going to leave in your mind, because as this group became a task force for some mission that was impossible for government, so it is when you open up the Bible, you have to understand that God says, I'm going to give you an impossible mission. It's called the commission, to go. So no matter what vocation you have, no matter what responsibilities you carry and how you make money, God still says to you, if you're his child, you're in his mission and it's impossible, but I'm going to give you the strength to fulfill this for my great commission. I want you to go. And you can't take go out of the gospel and still have the word gospel or good news or glad tidings. And so when you look at the whole of Scripture, realize that God himself had a mission and he gave it to us today to fulfill and will continue to fulfill to the day in which he comes to fulfill all of the world and bringing his gospel to every creature. They have a decision to make, and so do you today, that you have a choice to make. Do I want to accept God's commission on my life to do what he wants me to do? Why? So that as it was with this small group, to make a difference for they were called to do, so it is for you and me today. And so this is kind of a foundational groundwork for the next 12 months and where we're headed. I wanted to explain that to you, and I thought no better place to do that than Paul's last words that we read, as I mentioned earlier, are expressed in Paul's very first gospel message. Look at Acts chapter 13. Let me just give to you this message that we're not going to read verse by verse. This was the longest recorded message that Paul gave. But I would like to draw highlights for you because I think, as I mentioned in the beginning, that as did Paul, every believer has four responsibilities in a new year of ministry. As it was with that particular show, that they had new responsibilities every week to fulfill their mission, so it is for you. You are the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force, that God's given to you and empowered you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but God wants you to be used by him. Now, the question is, what is those responsibilities? What are those themes? Acts 13, you can pick the story up in verse 13, and we're just going to kind of hopscotch our way through this particular passage from verse 13, ultimately, to verse 52, and just draw highlights for you and then application for us today, because I think they're important. If people were to ask you, what are you trying to do every day to make a difference? What would you say? What are themes that for you are very, very important, no matter what walk of life you carry, that you could, with confidence, step in every day and say, God, I'm going to do your mission today. You don't have to be a full-time missionary like it was with Paul, but I think the truth that steps out to us is helpful for us. Acts 13 actually is the launch of the first of four missionary journeys that Paul took. This is the first, probably around mid-40s, 44, 45 AD. And really then, for the next 16 years, Paul took about four different missionary journeys, including one of those heading to Rome, paid for by the government, may I add, ultimately ended his life, and we read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the very first of these four missionary journeys. He is here with Barnabas. We read this in verse 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Acts just to set some context, if I can give it very briefly to you. This is these group of men from Antioch, which is up there in Syria, north of the land of Israel. And there were five of these men. Starts with in chapter 13, verse 1. There was in the church, it was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas. And then he mentions Simeon and Lucius and Manaen, which happened to be brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So Barnabas the first and Saul the last are the two that in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, the first and last on the list, for the work that I've called them." So when they fasted and they prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. It says, so they being sent forth, or literally they let them go. They released them by the Holy Ghost. And so it documents in verse 4 and 5 where they went. In verse 6 through 12, they bump into a guy named Bar-Jesus, which was a bad guy. He was a false prophet. He was a Jew. And God miraculously used Paul to literally blind this man in verse 11. And then the deputy there in verse 12 believed. He was saved. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And so Paul and company, verse 13, they went to Paphos and they went to Pergam, Pamphylia. And then John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That's a whole nother story. But here you find Barnabas and Saul now. When they departed, they went to Perga. They came to Antioch and Pisidia. This is another Antioch. This is up by where modern-day Turkey is. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. They went to the Jews, because they knew the Jews knew the Scriptures, and they sat down. What did they do in their worship services? Well, similarly to what we do. Once they went there to Antioch, verse 15, after the reading of the Law and the Prophets, they read the Bible. And then we know from earlier texts, they probably had some singing, that the rulers of the synagogue sent and said, "You men and brethren, you've any word of exhortation for the people?" And so here's now Paul gets a chance. So Paul stands up and he addresses two groups of people. Verse 16, Paul stood up and he beckoned with his hands. He said, "Men of Israel and you that fear God, you give audience. Listen, I've got something to say." And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that as it was with him, and he was saying, this is what I emphasize, I would say to you as well. First of all, you'll find him to make a difference that he exalted God's name. It became a mission that he was exalting God's name. You know what, for you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name. You find it in verse 17. He says, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers." He chose the Jews. And so from really verse 17 all the way down to really verse 38, he emphasizes by exalting the very name of God, because he knew that God had chosen the Jews, and he begins walking through their history. And he realized that as that prayer that they prayed before they ever left, as Paul now prays, or really he's preaching, but he's constant in his mode of prayer, knowing that God was overruling and ruling in all the affairs of man.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.